The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said it three times. He said, what you're going to minister today is one of the most important messages you'll ever preach and my people will ever hear. And then he said it again. And then he said it again. I said, okay, I understand. And we'll begin in Hebrews 1 again. We looked into the first two chapters of Hebrews Wednesday night. All right, Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 1. God at sundry times in divers manners spake unto us in times past, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 12 tells his Son speaketh from heaven. See that you don't turn away from him that's speaking from heaven. The Levitical priesthood, they spoke from the earth. God speaks from heaven. Where you're speaking from is where people will come to. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Say all things. By whom also he made the world. We looked into some of the things that he was made heir of. Now, you have to understand, whatever Christ inherited at his death of burial, when he was resurrected back into the right hand of God, he came from the right hand of the Father. He was resurrected back into the right hand of the Father. Whatever he inherited at that resurrection, he already had. This is very important. He already had that before he came here. He had all of it. He was the heir from the beginning. He was the mighty Logos. But he changed his identity and became a man for a very important reason. And we looked at a lot of those inheritances Wednesday night. But today we're going to look at one of those inheritances and hone in on this. And get verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his Jesus was the brightness of the Father's glory. And the express image of the Father's person. So he told Philip, he goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're one. He says, in beholding all things by the word of his power, we're learning a lot about that right now. Just because we're moving into Hebrews and moving these elements, we are still into keeping his word. It is the highest agenda right now of the Holy Spirit is to keep the word of God dwelling in your heart, dwelling in your mouth through the process of acknowledgement, keeping his word because he's going to uphold your life. He's going to uphold your future by the word of his promise. And we're learning how to keep that. We're learning how to co-labor with that word. We're learning how to have it dwell richly in our heart, in our mouth. It's an incredible operation of meditation and prayer, not the type of meditation you would normally understand to be, but it's an incredible operation. I believe when things birth, God's going to uphold it by his word. When man births it, man has to uphold it. When it's birthed sometime by the anointing by association, that anointing of association can lift. One of the worst things ever is to get an anointing by association. If you know what that means, is somebody else's anointing gets on you. And you get some grace freely. And what happens? Because sometimes when things are so freely given, they can be freely lost. And a lot of times what God will do is take an anointing. I know a church that received a very powerful anointing during the Brownsville revival. A church in this city received an anointing, but that church exploded. And the same anointing was in Brownsville, was on that church. But what happens is, it's designed, yes, to have that anointing flowing, but if you trade your relationship with God for what's flowing in that pulpit and try to find what only God can give you personally, so what they ended up doing is it was all about the prayer lines at the very end. Everybody was still trying to find that same experience, and they lost the personal relationships that would carry that kind of anointing, and then that anointing lifted, that church dwindled down. The worst thing ever, listen to me, it's more important, is to go up very high and to be dropped down very low. We need God's word to uphold it. It's not enough. Have you ever studied revivals? What happens after a revival when you have lived in the heavenlies and all that drops out? Do you have any idea what it does to the community of believers that were a part of that? because they live in a state of glory. And if that ever is lost, if it's ever stolen or it's not upheld properly, when it's lost, it's devastating. I mean, the churches that it birthed from are just become nothing. The communities it birthed from come nothing. Usually just all kinds of confusion will come in after that, if you study really what happens. But during the time it happens, it's glorious. But what God wants in this hour is for these things to be upheld. He wants us to take ground, but he wants that ground upheld. Amen. He don't want you to go up and go back down. We are not in the yo-yo Christianity here. We want to be upheld. David said, thy right hand is of holding me up. Thy right hand upholds me. There's positions in God you get upheld. Say, uphold me, God. So what we're after, we want upheld by his promises, by the word dwelling. And that's how he upholds it. All things, he upholds it by the word of his power. That's a very important lesson. So whatever you're after in God, if you are after something, when you get it, don't lose it. If you don't know how you got it, you might very well lose it. Things of God can be slippery. Even high places get very slippery because the slope is very steep. Low places, you got a lot of room to run around and you make a lot of mistakes. In the high places, when you make huge mistakes, you slip all the way down. So you have to get firm footing. That's why he said he makes it my feet like hinds feet. You ever seen the deer skip across a mountain like a ram skips across the mountain? You ever seen them do that? I'm like, how do they do that? They can jump 20 feet onto the other side of a cliff and land on about a 4-inch space of rock, and they've got footing. I said, God, we need footing like that. Give us footing like that. Even those of you been walking around the Spirit long enough know how something is gained and lost. That's not even what I'm going to talk about today, but it's good. Amen? Now, this is important, too, before we jump in here. He said, uphold all things by the word of his power. Say, uphold me. The way he does that is he sows in your heart. You learn to get in connection, in tune with what God has given you. And you get in tune and let it dwell in you richly and you keep it there. Every great man of God understood this because some point in time God taught it to them. And usually man's not going to teach you this. Man can tell you, but you got to do it. Amen. Moses knew it. Solomon knew it. David knew it. Jesus taught it. Paul understood it. These men understand. John understood it. They understand that it's a time you have to learn to keep what God gives. Amen. It's all kept here. You can't keep something out here. You start trying to keep what God's doing outwardly, you get in trouble. That's like Uzzah trying to steady the ark. He died. You can't steady God's glory. Only thing you can steady is what's going on inside your heart. That's your limitation. You keep the heart, God said, I'll keep the rest. You should write that down. You keep the heart, I'll keep the rest. We try to keep everything out here. We try to control our environment. Never in God's glory. You're going to control his glory. It doesn't work that way. He controls that part. That's his. You have to make a very fine line. What is God and what's ours? What you're responsible, what's his? Because you can't step into the things of God. Amen. Upholding all things by the word of his power. It's that word of his power dwelling in your heart richly. Keep these things. He told Joshua, going in the promised land, he said, meditate upon what I've given you. Do not let it depart from your mouth. That's an operation of God. These things is what the Holy Spirit teaches. This is how the kingdom is done. This is what true renewing of the mind is. We renew our mind to the things of God and how God operates. Said, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father. When God finishes creation, he sat down. When God finishes something, he sits down. Whenever you read that he sat down, he's done. He's did his work. At the creation of man, he sat down. You can turn to Genesis while going over there. We're going to be there, chapter 1. When God finished, he sat down. That's the signification that God's finished with his work. When the Lord finished his work, he went to the cross. He was not done at the cross. But he said, it is finished. Yes, he finished paying the price. But he wasn't finished with his plan. The death, the burial, the sufferings, and the resurrection. He wasn't finished until he went into the right hand of God and received the inheritance for us. And then he sat down and said, it's done. Your inheritance, your call. Everything God's going to do is already done in the right hand of God. You have to work from that position. We have to learn that position. Otherwise, we're going to keep wanting to come back. The righteous of the faith speak along this wise. Say that in heart. Who's going to ascend into heaven and bring him back down again? Because your heart, if it doesn't believe what he did the first time, it's going to be calling out for him to do it again. You got to know it's finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it's finished. Hallelujah. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Here, when God originally created man, I want to look at one aspect of our inheritance today. I want to look at the aspect of dominion. Say dominion. Everybody's heard messages on it. We are the church of dominion. Jesus restored our dominion. But here's what happens when we start talking about dominion. Let me read the scripture to you, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, Genesis 1, after our likeness. When God originally created mankind, you were created in a state above the angelic operation. Do you understand that? Your state was above the angelic operation. You were made in the image of God. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over the cattle. Look at, and I like this verse. You can underline this verse. Over all the earth. Say, all the earth. Man was given dominion in the earth. God has never changed his plan. Say, over all the earth, man was to have dominion. The rule of domain. Verse 28, and God blessed him, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I like that word, subdue. Subdue. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we know that God gave man in his image. Adam was created in his image. He walked in the image of God. He walked in the garden. He operated and functioned in dominion. There was no problem there until his fall. And the devil came and stole. That's what the devil was after, by the way. He was after that dominion. He wanted to rule the earth. So when he stole, he had to get man back to dust. We were created out of dust, but God breathed life into the dust. And he brought man from dust to glory. He had to get him back down there. That's why the enemy came at him like that. So when Adam and Eve fell, sin, the Bible says, entered into the heart of the human race. They had the law of Genesis in their loins, so sin passed upon all men. So we were all born in a state, a fallen state, and the devil by default stole that original dominion and became the god of this world system. He got that authority from man. The devil didn't have that kind of authority. He got it from what God gave to us. That was our gift. That was our inheritance. What he rules with under the principalities and the powers of this age was supposed to be man ruling with it. And really right now, we're supposed to be operating in it fully. I'll get to that in a minute. So we know that God gave this dominion. It's one of the great inheritances God gave to men. It was an operation given freely to man. To have dominion in the earth. How many of us live so far below the dominion God gave us? Now we know Then when Jesus came back, he restored that dominion. I want to look at that restoration today. But I also want to look at a mindset that we have, because we get born again and say, now let us take dominion, and we go about trying to operate in dominion in our own strength, in our own efforts, and we generally do it here, and it doesn't work for us. Because that's not where God put the dominion. Go to Psalms 8, actually go to Hebrews 2. And Psalms 8. Put your finger in Psalms 8 and put your Bible in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 5. This is really, really coming alive right now. Whatever you receive from God, you need to write this down. You have to see it to receive it. You have to understand. You have to understand more than it's just yours. You have to understand where it is, how to obtain it, how to apprehend it. Your faith cannot make a demand on something it does not see. And I'm going to say this too. Listen very carefully. Your faith cannot misappropriate itself in the wrong place, trying to receive from God in the wrong place. You have to know where to receive these things. Well, I thought it was freely given. It is freely given. But you have to go where it is freely given. Amen. This is what God's going to do. One way or another, he's going to get his people operating in his fullness. Amen? Glory to God. All right, Hebrews 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. In fact, chapter 1 and 2, he was differentiating the priesthood of Christ and its authority and its preeminence over the angelic realm. But verse 6 says, but one in a certain place, and this is coming right out of Psalms 8, which we're going to be into in just a second, testified saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You made it a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands. You can underline your Bible, set over. The works of his hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When you look at Psalms 8, from which this verse came from, he's really talking about Christ. Watch this. He's put all things in subjection, for that he put all things in subjection under him and left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things are put under him. That's a fancy way of saying he's purchased it all. But he hasn't fully redeemed it all yet. It's not going to all be put under subjection until they get the glorified body. Everybody gets a glorified body. You know that, right? We all get a major facelift. Praise the Lord. It's free. He purchased it for us. We get a body lift. Glory to God. And that glorified body is going to be with you for all eternity. All, he's already purchased it. It's done as far as God's redemption plan, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet into the earth. That's what that verse is saying fancily. Amen. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, go to Psalms 8 with that in mind. Psalms 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? This is where Hebrew was taken from. And the son of man thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, Hebrews tells us that that was Christ. There was no time in human history that Christ was ever made lower than the angels. Even at his birth, he was not lower than the angels. So all the angels worshiped him. There was only one time that he became lower than the angels. And that is when he subjected himself to receive and pay the penalty for our sin when he went to the cross. At his burial, right then God lowered him lower than the angelic state. He became our sin offering. From the cross to the 3 days is the only time he was ever made lower than the angels. And then right after that, God did us crown him with glory and honor and set him over. Raised him up and set him over his right hand. Set him over. Now watch what Psalm says. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. And now Hebrews says he was set over the works of his hands. But Psalm says, thou madest him to have dominion. Say dominion over the works of his hands. I want to know where this dominion was given. It tells us in Hebrews, at his resurrection, when he ascended into the right hand of God, he was crowned with glory and honor. He had all that before he came here. But he had to take upon himself the nature of Abraham. The Bible says in Hebrews, said, he did not take upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. He had to become a man. He already had dominion. He's the one that gave it to man. The man lost it. So he came to retrieve it. And when he came to retrieve it, the qualification to retrieve it, he had to become a man to retrieve it as a man so he could restore it for man. So he had to take upon himself the seed of Abraham. And when he died and was buried, when God raised him from the dead, dominion restored at his resurrection. Where was it restored? Where was dominion restored? Daniel chapter 7. Ephesians 1 says he blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now you and I are going to have to get to the point where heavenly places is not unusual. As long as you think heavenly places is a super spiritual realm that's very unusual, we're never going to operate in the fullness of God. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions. Now Daniel sees this a long time before this ever happens. Incredible. I wish I would have seen this like this. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. He's watching the resurrection. He's watching Christ come to the Father right after his resurrection. And he came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near before him. How'd you like to see that? Watch him in his resurrection. You know, people get stuck at the cross. If you get stuck at the cross, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get born again. You're going to have your sins forgiven. And you're going to know a little bit about God. You cannot get stuck at the cross. And I am in no way demeaning the cross, because there's no way you could have gotten to the Father outside of it. The cross was the only way to pay the price for our sin. But we can't get stuck. The cross was a means by which we moved through the cross. We need to be stuck and seated in the right hand of God. That was his ultimate position for us. His ultimate position was not for us to sit at the foot of the cross. The cross was made the way for us to come into where he is. He's not on that cross no more. His blood is on the mercy seat. His blood was brought before the mercy seat of heaven. So he comes into the Ancient of Days. He ascends in. They brought him near in his resurrection. Verse 14. And there was given him dominion. And there was given him dominion. And there was given him dominion. Where did the Father give him the dominion? In the right hand. He had that dominion before he ever left. You can read it like this. And there was given me dominion. And there was given you dominion. He restored the dominion in the right hand. The dominion wasn't given to him when he was in hell. Do you know he operated in that dominion before he paid the price for it? He was a man, just like you. But the Holy Ghost anointed him for a dispensation that he had not paid the price for yet. He didn't pay the price till the cross and the grave and hell. But God anointed him for the dominion on the other side. He walked in it and showed us what it looked like. He showed us the prototype, the pattern, the blueprint. He was the prototype, pattern, blueprint. He said, this is really what I want you to look like. This is what this dominion, going about destroying all the works of the devil. Well, the Holy Ghost was with him. I'm like, God, where is that? We have a lot of works to destroy. Where is the dominion? I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But where is the dominion? Why are we still living defeated lives? Why are we still powerless sometime when we're up in front of demonic forces? When he's given that dominion. I mean, we can call our church dominion. We can call it dominion conferences. But where is it? I mean, you ask that question. I ask it all the time. Well, there's a separation here. There was given to him a dominion, a glory, and a kingdom. The Father gave that to him. How God used him before the cross, that's what the River of Jordan was about. That's why he had to be baptized in the River Jordan. He said, you have to do this to fulfill the righteousness. John said, I need to be baptized you. He goes, no, John, you have to do this. Because that's when the anointing came on him. When he was going under that water, when he was going in that baptism, there was no turning back. That was his death, burial, and resurrection. As far as he was concerned, when he did that day, there was no turning back because he knew, I will subject myself to whatever it takes. Father, when I go under today, that is my death. That is my burial. And when I am raised up out of that, that is my resurrection. And the Holy Ghost came upon him right there, and he was operating in a dominion that he hadn't paid the price for, but he paid it right then because there was no turning back. He, that day, became the new heir of God, even though he had to pay the price and receive it for us later. When he went into before the Ancient of Days at his resurrection, when he received that dominion that the Lord originally gave to Adam that the devil stole by default, when he said he took the keys of death and hell, he took the dominion back, and God reassigned dominion again to his new heir, his last Adam. And there was a reassignment of dominion that day when he was raised into the right hand of God, when he was given that dominion. It goes on to say in that verse, and it was an everlasting dominion. That's important. I want you to read that verse. Verse 14, there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. Say, it will not pass away. It was an everlasting dominion. God had already gone through this process once with his first Adam. He wasn't going to go through it again. When he reassigned it to his last Adam, he made sure to put that dominion out of reach of demonic authority, out of reach of principalities and powers when he snatched it away from them. And the Father reassigned it. He said, I'll put it where they will never get it again. And when God showed me this, he said, I'll clothe you in dominion. Even if the enemy stole your life, I still have dominion more. I have some more dominion for you. I got an everlasting dominion. It's not ever going to be stolen. Even if he's stealing from you here, that dominion is in the right hand of God, and it can never be taken. It's yours forever. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. He had it. He did it for you. He did it for me. It's there. And I don't care what the devil is stealing from you here. He can't take that. Never will ever take, because it's an everlasting dominion. Because God put it out of reach and it will forever be man's. That dominion he purchased is forever man's. It's yours. Say, it's mine. Here's the problem. We're trying to function in dominion because I'm born again. I'm going to go function in dominion. You're going to have to get clothed in dominion before you function in dominion. And until you're clothed in dominion, you can't function in dominion. And you can't get clothed until you go to where it is. Because God's not going to drop the whole operation of dominion down back in the earth for the enemy to steal it again. He's going to put it on his sons and daughters. That's why he gave you access. I hope you have ears to hear. Yes, you have dominion. It's part of the arsenal of your inheritance. It is yours, just like you have blessing. But just because you have it doesn't mean it's manifesting. You got to appropriate it. God made sure when he set up the last operation of dominion that it would never be taken again. Never be taken again. Even if he gives it to you, the enemy can't have it. Did you just hear what I said? Even if he gives it to you, the enemy can't have it. Well, how does that work? Because God is going to disperse his dominion like he disperses his inheritance. He disperses it from the right hand of God. That's where it comes on you. You bring it back in here and you operate in it. But the enemy can never have the operation because God didn't set the permanent. Write this down. God did not set the permanent operation of dominion in the earth. He set the permanent operation of dominion in the right hand of the Father. He had to do that because he blesses you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That dominion will operate in the financial arena and it will operate in the realms of power. And this is why the church has not had that kind of power on them, because they keep trying to operate here. We have to become a heavenly priesthood. To operate from heaven, we have to learn to operate. We cannot be earthly minded and think we're going to operate in heavenly inheritance. Most of your inheritance is sitting in the right hand of God. He put it there so the enemy will never steal it from you. I've had the enemy steal a lot of stuff from me here. He's good at what he does, and God knew that. He does it because he preys on our ignorance. He preys on our lack of knowledge. You know how many things God has given to man, and the enemy comes and intercepts? He's a good interceptor. But that's why God said, I've got eternal. It's all eternal here. It's an eternal supply. And we're sitting there whining and crying, and we spend 10 years in guilt, shame, and condemnation because something got stolen from us. God said, hey, get over it. That was just a foretaste of what I have for you. Yeah, he may have won that battle, but he's not going to win this war. He goes, I've got more for you. See, that's why you said you fight and you sue each other at the law. You're fighting over table scraps. Braveheart, he goes, you fight over table scraps. You don't know your God-given right. We fight over tables because we have no perspective. We have no revelation. We don't believe. We got to fight one another for stuff because we don't believe we have an eternal supply. My God shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory. In glory. Everything comes out of glory. Everything comes from the right hand. It's an inexhaustible supply. Because we don't get up there not operating and we don't understand the abundance and the fullness of it. So we fight in a war here. Somebody gets promoted and we start getting jealous. And God said, your promotion's up here too. God has an awesome plan for every one of us. He has an awesome inheritance. I believe with all of my heart, I'm telling you, I've laid my life down for this, that we are going to access the unlimited resources, the inexhaustible inheritance, the dominion of God, the fullness of God, the blessings of God, the power, wisdom, riches, strength, honor, glory. We're going to access His government. We're going to access His fullness, or access His love. We're going to receive it, access, receive it, and operate it in here. I believe His inheritance is going to get downloaded into the body of Christ. Because a heavenly priesthood will arise without getting goofy crazy with it. I am not up there to look for a visitation of an angel. I am up there to access my inheritance. Dominion is there. Boy, I locked onto that. I'm like, God, I've preached that. He said, yeah, you did, but that wasn't the time for it. Now it's like going in there, clothe me in dominion. Like Chuck was talking about a couple weeks ago, how go in there and ask for an unlimited, take the limits off. Go in the right hand of God, Father, take the restraints off of me. Take the limitations off of me. Restore me to who I am in you. Clothe me in this dominion. Send me back into the earth and anoint that dominion with the Holy Ghost. Anoint that dominion with the Holy Ghost. Clothe me in inheritance from above. I am not going to fight for table scraps in the earth when I have an inexhaustible inheritance. We have no revelation. That's why he said, pray the Father give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The knowledge of Christ. The eyes of your understanding may open. Open mine eyes, Lord. It's the word is the lamp to the feet. It's the light to the eyes. It's the candle. The word lights my candle. Sets the word on my lampstand and it opens a realm I cannot see with my eyes, but God, I can see it by His word. I may not be able to touch it with my natural senses, but my spiritual senses can see it, touch it, feel it, hold it. My eyes behold that inheritance. I can see that dominion. I see the problem with the church. We're trying to operate in dominion. We haven't made it to the heavenly priesthood yet, where it lives, where it dwells. God has a plan for everything. He's got a plan for the earthly priesthood. He downloads His operation of His gifts while they operate, while they're growing up. The Bible says, let us grow up into Him. Let us grow up into Him. I tell you, the churches must change their dynamic. They must change the compass. The church must shift in their compass. Well, you're so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. I don't know anybody like that. I know a few squirrely people, but that's not heavenly minded as far as I'm concerned. That's just people deceived. They got lost somewhere in the second heaven, thought it was the third heaven. The enemy apprehended their mind mostly because they had no word that anchored them to operate in realms like this. They were operating their emotions. They're operating an unsanctified intellect and an unsanctified mind. They got in there and the enemy started filling them with all manner of stuff. Every time you turn around, you go, well, I saw Jesus walk through that door over there and I saw Him walk. I'm telling you, if Jesus walks through the door, everybody in this place will know it. You don't have to tell you if Jesus pays this place a visitation, most likely every single one of us will be in the dust. You will be in the carpet quick. You might see a vision, but if the Lord walking through that door, I can assure you we're all biting the dust very fast. I dare anybody to stand in the glory of God. John said, I fell at His feet like a dead man. We must be guided by the Word. We walk into that place by the Word. We hold that place by the Word. We enter by the Word. We live by the word. My boundaries and paradigms for which I fellowship with God, that place is upheld by the word. I don't reach past the paradigm I cannot see in the word. If you're encountering that realm, I'm telling you, you're going to have something on you. You're going to have a weightiness. You cannot dwell in the presence of the Most High God and not have some type of weightiness upon your life, some type of glory. We're going to operate in these realms. We have to operate in a safety and a parameter that's built by His Word. We enter in by His Word. Somebody asked me, how do you see in the Spirit? I said, I don't see like it's this dimension. But the best way I can describe it to you, if you'll close your eyes, I'll share something with you. I want you to become aware that you're in a room. I want you to become aware of the walls around you. Do you see and feel that awareness? You're aware that you're inside a room. You're aware that a ceiling covers you. All right, open your eyes. Now, you know that awareness, and the reason why you have that awareness is because you've been in this room before. Your eyes have seen it. Now, here's how the awareness in the kingdom operates. God illuminates His Word. And when He illuminates His Word, dwell under the secret place, He hides me in the shelter of His wings. He hides me in His pavilion. He's a rock, a fortress. That Word creates the imagery by which you can become aware that you're there. You're aware that He's hiding you. You're aware that you're in a pavilion because His Word seeded the sanctified imagination that's dwelling in you. And your imagination, your inner being, seeded by that Word, can become aware of something because the Word, the lampstand, lit it up. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Now, I want to share something with you. I think it's Ephesians 3. I shared something Wednesday night about this plan. When God made man, He made him in the image from dust, but He made him in the image of His glory. At His fall, He went from glory to dust. Okay? He lost His glory. So what God did in pronouncing a judgment against the devil, He said, on your belly shall you go. He didn't turn him into a serpent, even though he, that's the imagery that you would think of as the devil as a serpent. He didn't make him a serpent sliver. And when He said, on your belly shall you go, He confined him to an operation of dust below man. He said, on your belly, you're going down into the dust. I'm taking away and stripping you. It was one of the judgments. He has multiple judgments against him. God immediately set His plan up to raise man from dust to glory while He was taking the devil from glory to dust. He said, I am going to give man your estate, and I'm going to take your estate away and take you down to dust. And I'm going to give man authority over you. That's what he cannot stand more than anything, is man executing dominion over him. I need to read a few verses before I get to this, since you'll understand. Verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus, Ephesians 3, 1, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you word, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, that was part of the mystery, and of the same body, and the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof, this is where I want to get into, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, the effectual working of his power. Unto me is less than least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Say unsearchable. We need to start hearing about the unsearchable riches of Christ. There may come a day we not be able to get teach like this, because he's going to be ready to demonstrate. When he's going to demonstrate, he'll shift things. Amen. To make all men see, verse 9, what is the mystery to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So this mystery was hidden in God from the beginning of the world. And he's about to give you the second half of this. Amen. Now the Gentiles were going to be partakers. We were going to be fellow heirs with the Jews, and we're all going to partake of this next mystery. That's what he's saying. He says, to the intent, verse 10, very misunderstood verse here. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. So, he said, in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose. So whatever he purposed was in verse 10. Whatever he purposed was in verse 10. And whatever he purposed in verse 10, verse 12 said he gave you access to. So whatever verse 10's talking about, verse 11 said he purposed it from the foundation of the world. Verse 12 says he gave you access to it. Which tells me he's not talking about demonic principalities and powers. Because he's talking about demonic principalities and powers, I need no access into that realm. Verse 11 says it's the eternal purpose. Speaking of verse 10, verse 12 says you have boldness and access into whatever he's talking about in verse 10. You want to know what he's talking about? Verse 10, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, understood. That word known is with a thorough understanding, a thorough knowledge would be given by the church, would be known by the church. You would have a thorough understanding of this realm. You'd have a thorough knowledge of this realm. Now let me show you how to read this. You ready? Verse 10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be fully understood with a thorough knowledge, the church would fully understand it, comma, all of this is the manifold wisdom of God. It was the manifold wisdom of God to give the church understanding of the ruling domains of heaven, the dominion that he put there, the governmental structure of heaven, where you fit, your position there, above the angel, seated at the right hand of God. He wanted you to understand the power structure of heaven, where you seated. This was all the manifold wisdom of God. Did you get that? He eternally purposed for you to understand your seat, the principality in the power, the structure of heaven, the governmental structure of heaven, where you fit, where the angels fit, where your seat was, the authority, the dominion, the operation, all in a heavenly realm. The church have a thorough understanding, a thorough knowledge of it. All this was the manifold wisdom of God by which he gave you access to it. Because that's where your power is. That's where the dominion is. That's where the glory is. And that's where the church must come. Open wide, you heavenly gates. Open wide. You gotta know. Did you know your estate is above the angels? When you lost it, Jesus repurchased it. He sat you down at the right. When he was crowned with glory and honor, you were crowned there. You're given a position above the angels. They are ministering spirits sent to minister on your behalf. They are under the authority of heaven. They're under your authority. You begin in an estate like no other estate. As far as and high as you think Michael and Gabriel are, do you know they are not sons of God? He said, which of the angels did he ever say, sit here at my right hand? Which one of them did he ever say it? But the Son, he says it, and the heirs of salvation, he said it. He raised us up together to sit with him and given us the dominion of the ages. It's ours now. It's there. And he's given us with boldness and confidence and access. And the devil would like nothing more than keep us being flesh, earthly creatures, operating our own strength, operating their own effort, operating their own personalities. Let's find a way to grow a church. Operating our own design, operating our own blueprint. God has granted us access. He eternally purposed for us to understand it. It was his manifold wisdom to give it back to the church. Everyone say, I've got access. I have access. I believe it. I'm going to lock on until I get it. A lot of our call was to open these pathways up, because you don't hear about them very often in church. And yet your Bible is full of the revelation of the heavenly tabernacle. The supernatural must become natural in a way that's not goofy, squirrely, or crazy. We must be guided. It's the manifold wisdom of God to give it to us. Father, today, lift your inheritance. Lift us all higher ever still. Let our faith release higher ever still, Father. Let us move higher and higher and higher till the pathways are fully open, till we're clothed the dominion that you've already purchased, where you sat down, the dominion's there. There's no more work to do. The dominion's in the right hand. We come to be clothed. We come to be filled. When you enter into the right hand of God, begin to access the dominion. Begin to ask to be clothed in it. To begin lay hold of it with your faith. Lay hold of the dominion. Know it's there. Understand it's there. Understand it's your inherited right to have it. To be clothed in it. To come back in the earth and watch dominion work. Hundredfold dominion. Hundredfold operation. Father, I will preach these words until we see it. I will not back down to an earthly priesthood. I will not turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I will not turn away. If any man draw back to the earthly priesthood, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, Hebrews said. We are not of those that draw back, but we are those that press on to the mark to apprehend that for which we were apprehended for. I was apprehended to know you in the right hand. I was apprehended to sit with you, to follow you, to be with you where you are, to behold the Father's glory, to be changed into your image, to be clothed in dominion, and to exercise the dominion into the earth. This is the manifold wisdom of God. This is our inheritance. We press on, Father. We press on. We do not look at what is seen with a natural eye. We look at what is seen by your word. We behold your word. We behold it. Let the lampstand lead us into glory. Let the lampstand clothe us with glory. Let the sons of God take our seat with you. Let the daughters of God, let the queen, the bride, stand with him at the right side of the king, clothed in the gold of Ophir. Oh, Father, so let it be. So let it be. Let your word, let the revelation, let the dominion be restored upon us as it already is in the right hand. Let us be clothed in what is ours. It's rightfully ours. You've restored it all. Power in heaven and earth is given unto me, the Lord. You gave it to us. We receive it. Bless your inheritance. Bless us greatly, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.